You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 17th of December 2025 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we've got a bit of a good news story today after the last two negative ones that we've had about diversity. What we have today is a reform councillor who is speaking up for concerns about children that attend gay pride events. And this is good because we know that Reform are concerned about immigration and the problems associated with that. But we didn't know if they were also concerned with things such as drag queen story hour or the sexualization of children under the disguise of LGBTQ issues. So the fact that this Reform councillor has been standing up to this and at a great risk to herself as well is very positive, I think. And Reform are doing exceptionally well in the polls now. I believe they have the largest political party in Britain. They're well on course to winning the next election. I do advise people to vote for Reform. They're the only viable political party that we have that might actually do things to benefit us in Britain. It's no good voting for a smaller party that isn't going to get in. That's just a wasted vote. You need to be voting for parties that have a chance of actually getting in. And Reform, I believe, do have a good chance of getting in. And they do appear to have some very good people that work with them. And the best politician that I've seen recently is Rupert Lowe. I mean, every time I see what he says on Twitter, I'm impressed with the man. He has to be one of the best politicians that I've ever heard of, to be honest. The sort of things that he's saying are absolutely wonderful. It's a great shame that he's no longer with Reform and he can't patch things up with Nigel Farage because he is excellent. And this lady here, she sounds pretty good as well. And this article is being taken from GB News. And the headline is Reform councillor arrested at Pride event after protesting concerns for children's safety. So she was actually arrested for being concerned about children being at a sexualized event. A Reform UK councillor has told GB News she was arrested at a Pride event for criticising the sexualized festival in which children were attending. And of course, it has to be sexualized. If you're gay, it means you engage in homosexual activity, and homosexual activity is sexual activity. So there is going to be a link. And yet they encourage children to attend these events. They encourage children to wave rainbow flags at school and to have gay pride events at primary schools. I can remember covering here at Radio Albion. And it seems people just don't make that link. They don't understand the fact that it is sexualized. Okay, we don't want people to feel left out. We want everybody to feel included. But there has to be a limit with that when it comes to sexual activity. There should be no link between children and sexual activity. And yet, out of this concern for not wanting gays to feel left out, we allow these things to happen. And good people among us encourage it because they think that they're actually doing a good thing. Speaking to Patrick Christie's, Amanda Clare recalled being accused of being homophobic and taking pictures of children after expressing concern for youngsters at the event. Well, I don't think she's fearful of gay people. What she's fearful of is children being sexualized or being exposed to sexual activities at a young age. That's what she's concerned about. It's not fear of gay people. Following the incident at Winsford Pride in Cheshire in June, Miss Clare has had the charges of assault and criminal damage dropped. The councillor declared the whole ordeal to be a smear campaign against Reform UK due to them doing well in the polls. This is another aspect of Reform, is that our opponents play the exact same tricks against Reform that they've played against nationalists for years, thinking that these tricks will put a stop to them. And what it's actually done is it has exposed our opponents for all these dirty tricks. And it's shown them to be the people that support pedophilia and the people that support castration of young boys, people that support all sorts of awful things by protesting against the people that are concerned about these things. It's like when you get people that protest against rape because a rape has occurred in their town from people of migrant heritage, and you get people that are rightfully disgusted at that, and they protest at the fact that the migrants are being housed in their town. And then you get our opponents that turn up with signs saying, smash the fash, meaning smash the people that are protesting against rape. And the normal person sees that and just thinks, what on earth? So by attacking groups like Reform, our opponents really take the mask off for just normal average people that aren't used to following politics or don't really understand nationalism. Our opponents do more damage to themselves than they do to us. And I would suggest that's what's going on here. They're doing more damage to themselves than to Amanda Clare. I think she comes off in this very well. She told GB News, I've been a councillor since 2019 and I've been campaigning within the council formally around a lot of areas of policy capture to do with the LGBTQ plus agenda. So what she's concerned about is that areas of council policy are being unduly influenced by this LGBTQ plus agenda. Undue influence may be drag queens wanting to have drag queen story hour. If you were to get a stripper who said, I would like to wear my stripper outfit and read stories to children, parents would say, what on earth are you thinking of? And libraries would say, what on earth are you thinking of? But because the adult entertainer is a drag queen, is homosexual rather than being heterosexual, people instantly think, oh, these homosexuals, they've been persecuted over the years, so we have to make up for that and allow them to do this. We have to make them feel included. So it's actually positive motives behind a lot of this, but it ends up having horrible results, so that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Pride was one of the areas I was interested in, she said, and I had seen some images of a drag queen on a stage with a bunch of children around him, and he was very scantily clad, and that raised the alarm bells a little bit, just a little bit. If you think 20 years ago, if you saw a scantily clad male, sexualized male, homosexual male with a bunch of children around him, it would be more than alarm bells that were going off. The police would have been called. And yet today, because we've been subject to this relentless LGBTQ promotion everywhere, more and more people just aren't making the link and are thinking, oh, well, this is okay. It's just kids enjoying seeing somebody who looks like a pantomime dame or like Widow Twanky or something. She added, so I thought, well, I'll go along. I'll just have a look and I'll just see what's going on for myself. And some of the things that I saw really concerned me. And they will do. I mean, if you think Gay Pride, when that was originally devised, the whole point of it was to be as extreme and extremely sexualized and as flamboyant as these homosexuals could possibly be. And the point of that was that if they could have this day when they could go out and do pretty much literally have gay sex on the streets, then the next time, if the public saw two gay men kissing, it wouldn't be as extreme as seeing two gay men having sex on the streets. And they wouldn't be so revulsed by the two men, gay men kissing. That was the point of it. It was to be as extreme as possible so that more milder expressions of homosexuality became accepted. So the whole point of gay pride was to be as extremely sexualized as they could get away with being. And it's gone from that to them taking away the word gay pride in it and just calling it pride, and then trying to get children to go along to it. I mean, we should never forget the reason why gay pride was thought of in the first place. It was to be as sexualized as possible. And yet now we see it as something that it's acceptable for children to go to. I mean, that is, again, that's a real indictment of modern morality, isn't it? So she got photographs, she says. I got photographs and I got video footage of those things, because the stuff that is publicized around pride events often looks nice and shiny and happy, but you don't always see some of the other stuff that's going on. Sometimes you do. You're not going to see it on the mainstream media, but you will see it on Twitter. I mean, I've seen images of men with their backsides hanging out, men dressed up in PVC outfits, looking like dogs, being like crawling along the pavement with a chain around their necks, and children in the same area. That's the sort of thing that you see, like, and bondage, S&M, sadomasochism, all this sort of stuff is going to be exhibited at one of these events, and yet they encourage children to go there. So she was there getting photos and footage of the sort of things that perhaps some of the people that go along to gay pride wouldn't have wanted the public to see. Now, I'm not saying that they're all pedophiles or anything like that, but there will be some people there that are pedophiles. I mean, the greatest gift there's been to pedophiles of recent years has been Drag Queen Story Hour. And pedophiles that are in prison will say that when they're on their courses that they have to do when they're in prison. They will say that this Drag Queen Story Hour is like a gift come from heaven for them, because it allows them to have access to small children, which is what they want. And if they were to try and do that just as a normal man, that people would be asking questions. But if they do it dressed up in women's makeup and a women's wig, nobody asks questions and they allow it. And I forget the name of the psychologist that was talking about all of this, because he goes into prisons and talks to pedophiles in prison. That's where he was getting his information from. And he used to be on Twitter. Of course, I don't have my old Twitter account anymore. That was banned when I was sent to prison. So I'm not, and I don't recall the name of this psychologist. But he was also talking about furries and saying that furries are extremely sinister and sexualized, because children will like to see people dressed up as furry animals because they remind them of furry toys. And of course, again, that's a sexualized kink, as it were, that appeals to children. So it gives pedophiles a route to access to children. That's the horrifying thing. And yet these parents just don't seem to understand that, because they just think, oh, well, we don't want anybody to feel left out. We don't want gay people to have the stigma of all being pedophiles. So it's better that we just let all of them see children. Is that their thinking, do you think? Noting the extreme nature of the merchandise being sold at Winsford Pride in the last few years, the councillor said, "The first Pride event that I went to was in 2023, and they had sex toys on sale around children in a child-accessible area, some of which looked like children's toys, pastel colours, unicorn shapes, and things like that." And that's one of the things that the LGBTQ use, isn't it, is the unicorn. They have the gender unicorn. I'm not quite sure why, but it's quite clear that that's designed to appeal to children. And that's exactly what you've got here. You think about the way that the mainstream media and the government talk about vapes, and you've got different flavoured vapes, which are aimed at adults, but they say, oh, well, these vapes, because they have all these different flavours, they're aimed at children, and we have to ban vapes, and we have to stop children having access to vapes, And yet what you've got here is you've got sex toys in the shape of children's toys in pastel colours and looking like children's toys. And nobody says anything about it because it's an LGBTQ area and people don't want to be seen to be homophobic. She continued, they also had a burlesque striptease in front of children as well at that event, as well as all the ideological stuff. So the next year at Winsford Pride, they had promotion of double breast amputations to children. So, I mean, I often make this likeness of a drag queen talking to children is the same as a stripper talking to children. They're both adult entertainers. And what you've actually got going on here is a striptease in front of children. And that's going to encourage children to copy it, isn't it? One of the other problems with this is if you're taking children to these sorts of things and they enjoy being there and they like the excitement. And then when they see a drag queen on the street outside a gay club, then they want to go up there and go into the club to see what's going on because they've been told that this is a normal children's thing to do. And of course, that's going to put them at great risk, isn't it? If you put children in a sexualized environment like that. That's the concern about this is children being in this environment. She says it's really quite severe. And actually, some of the stuff that we've seen at Pride events, the expletives that have been used on some of the merchandise has been so extreme that we've been told as councillors that we cannot mention those words in council meetings because children might be watching the live stream. But on the other hand, it's absolutely fine for children to see them at Pride events. So it's not okay for the council members to mention these words or mention these things, but it's absolutely fine for LGBTQ events to have them in public and aimed at children. If you're holding a big event in public, like a gay pride event, then that's aimed at the public. And they're clearly not being concerned about what children see. I would suggest that they're not really that concerned about the rest of society whatsoever if they want to be demonstrating highly sexualized events to the public, then I don't think they're really very community-minded at all. I think they're just thinking about themselves. And don't forget, that was the point of gay pride. It was to make it more accessible homosexuality. So that instead of people being shocked at it, people would be less shocked at it because they'd seen even more horrific stuff at a gay pride event. That's the entire logic behind gay pride. Recalling the incident which led to her arrest, Miss Clare told GB News, there were allegations of assault and criminal damage against me, but the officer that arrested me didn't see this. He just took somebody else's word for it. So the police just acted on what a homosexual said. So they, even though it was just hearsay and there were no witnesses, and they've now dropped the charges, they just accepted it because it was a so-called victim that told them it. This was after he had seen myself and my friends incited against from the stage by the drag queen, by the drag act, who pointed me out and said that I was homophobic. So the police saw that this councillor was being victimised from the stage in front of the public, and then he arrested her instead of the drag queen. We were then surrounded, three of us female friends, by 40 people shouting, waving pride flags right in our faces. And I guess they're quite lucky it was just a flag they were waving in their faces. In front of our cameras, we were pushed and shoved, and my friend's phone was knocked out of her hand. Someone live-streamed me and accused me of being there to photograph other people's children. But this is what they do. It's smear tactics all the way. The opposite of what I was accused of is what actually happened. And that is what happens. If you're on the side of what's right and what's good and you protest about what's bad, you will be accused of being the bad guy nowadays. You'll be the one who is accused of being in the wrong. So she was there to protect children and wanted to get footage of the fact that there were children right next to a stripper and right next to a drag queen saying filthy things on a microphone. And because she recorded that, she was then accused of secretly wanting to film other people's children as if she was the one that was a danger to children. So they had completely reversed the reality of the situation. Noting the impact the arrest has had on her job and personal life, Miss Clare revealed, I'm a reform counsellor. Reform are likely to be the next government, and because of that, because we are doing so well in the polls, we are always vulnerable to smear campaigns from within the mainstream media and obviously other political parties. And that's what they do by a smear campaign. They will just call you names. They'll call you racist, or as they did here, they call her homophobic, or they'll say transphobic. You can never actually come up with any arguments as to why their position is correct. They just come out with ad hominems. They just come out with insults. And I think this lady is of the type that says sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, which is the way British people used to be brought up. Nowadays, you're brought up to see that words in themselves cause the equivalent of physical violence, and therefore you're entitled to use physical violence to stop somebody else using words that you don't like. Everything has been reversed. She said, I didn't know how long this was going to drag on for, and I know the power of a smear campaign, so I didn't want to impose that onto my employer, which was Sarah Putin at the time. So I willingly resigned my post. But Reform retained the whip and have provided me with a lot of support behind the scenes and are delighted with the outcome, with the fact that the charges have been dropped. So then again, that's another good thing. Reform stood by her when she was charged by the police. Instead of saying, we're not homophobic and we condemn this homophobic anti-gay pride woman, they actually backed her and they supported her in the face of media attacks. Criticising how the ordeal was handled, the Reform councillor told GB News, as a councillor, it shouldn't be the case that I cannot go along to a pride event to check that it is safe for children. I mean, this sort of implies, is there anybody else doing this? Are they not used to doing this? Are they not used to having somebody go along to the gay pride event to check that it is actually safe for the children that they've encouraged to go along there? Because I doubt very much whether this was a one-off case. I suspect that a lot of these gay pride events, they might have sex toys there on display. They might use vulgar language. They might have strippers there. They might have drag queens there. And trying to get them to interact with the children as well. I don't think this was just a one-off. I mean, would you allow children into a sex shop just to see what was for sale in a sex shop? Well, surely that's going to be pretty similar to what you see being offered at a gay pride event. She said, because my views are known, because I've complained about some of the things that are happening, I actually thought twice about whether to go to this because I've been threatened at the event the year before. So she is risking physical violence. I mean, she says she was surrounded and her friend's phone got knocked out of her hands and that probably damaged the phone. So she's physically being intimidated here, and yet she still goes to try and draw attention to this. In the face of what would appear to be mainstream public opinion being supportive of all of this. I mean, you do hear Reform talking about how gay friendly they are. That's why I'm very pleased that they did actually support this woman when she went to this gay pride demonstration. I mean, they may very well say, well, what you do in your bed is your own business. What we're against is the promotion of it in public and the promotion of it to children, which I think probably the majority of the country would agree with. Definitely the Muslim communities would agree with. We nationalists have a lot in common with the Muslim community, to be honest. It's only really the immigration issue that we're against. They don't want, observant Muslims don't want other Muslims to be going out raping white women or forming grooming gangs. You know, they're against that as well. They're against pedophilia. They're against child abuse. They're against the LGBTQ being taught to children. A lot of things. It's really only the immigration issue that we have with them, because they are naturally conservative-minded people. It is a conservative religion. It's probably the last one left, obviously, because Christianity is now become corrupted, but it used to be fairly similar in laws as well. You look at Sharia law, there are very, very strict punishments for crimes and offences, and they have very, very low crime rates in Muslim countries because of these punishments. But once you come into Europe, of course, you don't get your hands chopped off for stealing. So if you're of the sort of mind that wants to be a thief and you live in Iran or Afghanistan or Pakistan, you're going to aim for Europe, aren't you? Because you know that you can get away with stealing there and they're not going to chop your hands off. So it's another of the reasons why we get the worst of these people from these other countries rather than the best. And I know I've mentioned it before, but I heard this from the horse's mouth when I was in Turkey. I got on very well with some Turkish musicians there. And I said, what are the Turkish diaspora like in Europe? And they said, don't speak to them. Don't have anything to do with them. They're really bad people. We don't want them in our country. And they all go into yours. They're wanted people here in our country. And they leave and they go to Europe. And that's what I was told. And I wasn't a nationalist at the time. And I was sort of quite surprised at hearing this, because I thought he was going to say, oh, yes, you know, they're all into playing the drums and like we are here. But no, he said they were, you know, bad people, don't have anything to do with them. Getting back to this article here. She says, because my views are known, because I've complained about some of the things that are happening, I actually thought twice about whether to go to this because I've been threatened at the event the year before. She concluded, it's about your safety. Whether as a counsellor you can actually carry out your role properly. They are asking you for funding towards these events. So you've got a perfect right when they've admitted that they've judged it wrong previously and they put new policies in place to go and check what's happening. That's very true. If obviously the councils fund these gay pride events, and if they're funding them, surely they should have a right to actually attend them and check that things are being done properly. And the children aren't being sexualized at these events. I'm very pleased that this woman did this. And I hope more counselors do this rather than taking pictures of themselves talking about how much they support gay pride, like Sadiq Khan does and a lot of the people on the left. So what was her name again? Amanda Clare, Reform Counselor. I think I'll give her a follow on X. Well, thank you very much for listening today. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk Radio for the nationalist community.